Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Week number 15 of the NFL season officially in the books with the improbable comeback and upset of the Eagles by the Seattle Seahawks. I guess that that whole the Eagles haven't beaten Seattle in 15 seasons thing actually held some weight. I mean, you know, there are teams out there that just have the other team's number no matter what. Like the Bears, for some reason, cannot ever really beat the Miami Dolphins. We always find a way to come up short against those guys. And, like the Bears more times than not beat the Steelers. Like the all-time record for the Bears over the Steelers is extremely lopsided when the Steelers have been the better franchise for most of that time. So it's crazy. But yeah, another wild week. We had 16 full games. We had a wild combination of tight games, close finishes, blowouts, upsets. It was a really good week of football. I enjoyed keeping track of it all. Started out with the biggest blowout since the Dolphins beat the Broncos 70-20 in like week 3 or week 4, whenever that was. And funny, from a team that got shut out 4 days prior on Sunday, they come out and bust out the whooping stick with 63 points, and they were up 42-0 at halftime. I mean, even the Dolphins, when they beat the Broncos like that, it only scored 35 at the half. So yeah, it was a crazy week. So we had Saturday games, we had big triple header on Saturday. All kinds of stuff. I switched a couple of picks, and some of them came back to bite me, as they often do. But I did make the correct choice in some instances. Like, I think initially I'd chosen the Colts, and then I ended up switching to the Steelers because of, T.J. Watt coming back and some of the names that I, like Jonathan Taylor, didn't play. Against the Colts, and I'm like, okay. It's like, I know that Zach Moss is a good running back, but I just didn't think that that would be enough. Unfortunately, I was terribly wrong about that one. I did correctly switch my pick from the Packers to the Buccaneers. Something about my instinct just told me to take that one. And I'm upset with my flip-flop on Houston and Tennessee, because I picked the Titans initially when I did the show on Wednesday night. Then I switched it to the Texans. Then I switched it back to the Titans. Went back to the Texans on Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, I'm looking at the inactives, and I see Will Stroud, Will Anderson Jr., and a couple of other names on the Texans inactive list. I'm like, screw this. The Titans are going to win. So I finally switched one time, like for the fifth time, I switched to the Titans, and Houston beats them in overtime. Like, great, that's fantastic. That's exactly what I need there. So let's see, did I do any other flip-flopping? No, that was pretty much it. But I changed those three picks, and I went 1-for-2 1-2 in those three changes. So if I'd have left everything the way it was, it would have been 2-1. I'd have been a game better than I was and have a few more points to add to the total. And actually, I think, did I pick the Bengals originally? Either way, I picked the Bengals. So even if I said the Vikings initially, I picked the Bengals. They ended up winning in overtime, which we'll talk about because that's one of our pick six games. So, all right. So now that we got all that out of the way, let's go ahead and get started. This is the Week 15 review episode of the Fourth Phase. So let's get to it. Week Welcome to the fourth phase, presented by Bears Talk Underground and Sports Drink Media. And now, your host, Larry D. Oh, man. So we're all done with the bye weeks, which means we got 16 games from here on out through the rest of the regular season. And, you know, for a full slate, this week did not disappoint. I mean, you know, the Thursday game kind of gave us an indication that what a crazy week this was going to be, with the Raiders just absolutely blasting the Chargers, 42 points by the half, en route to a 63-21 win, I believe was the final score. Yeah, that's what it was. You know, the implications of that, Brandon Staley and Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Chargers, being fired on Friday morning. No one was really surprised. In fact, if you ask a lot of Charger fans, some of them were probably surprised that Staley made it this far. Not only with the fact that they blew that 27-0 lead in the wild card round in the playoffs last year, but with the way the season's been going, some of the decisions Brandon Staley's made and everything, it's been a mess throughout the entire season. So for them to wait 15 weeks into the season to finally pull the trigger on, I bet some Charger fans out there believe that was a move that was long overdue. So then your Saturday games, you had a come down to the wire overtime matchup with the Vikings and the Bengals. You had the Steelers and the Colts, which was a, you know, not that big a deal. And then you had the Detroit Lions just walloping the Broncos. Bears and the Browns, that's a pick six game, so we'll talk about the ending of that game, because as a Bears fan, and it just goes to show, I can't take the bait whenever the Bears give me hope, because then they'll put on a performance like they did Sunday, where they, and this one was worse, because they played well enough to win, but in the end, collapsed that they had two prior times in the season with a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, letting the Browns come back and take that from them. And even then, on the final play of the game, the win was literally gift wrapped for us, and we couldn't hang on. Then we had some of our upsets. Even though I know the Bills were favored because they were the home team and the Cowboys are terrible on the road, I still consider it an upset that not so much that Buffalo beat the Cowboys, but that they just absolutely just rolled the Cowboys. I mean, it was bad. So, then of course you have Atlanta and Carolina. I mean, just why? You know, it's just, why, Atlanta? Why would you do it? This is a team that was in first place a week ago. Last Sunday when they played the Buccaneers, they were playing for first place. They lose that game, and then the encore was going to Carolina and losing to the Panthers, only scoring 7 points in the process. Jesus Christ. So, yeah. So, the Jets are officially done after they got smacked around by the Dolphins. The 49ers clinched the NFC West. The Chiefs finally snapped their losing streak. Baltimore is still the number one seed. And then, of course, on Monday night, you had Philly blowing that lead at the end of the game, losing their third straight now to be 10-4. So, lots to cover, so let's go ahead and get started, even though I kind of gave you a giant spoiler alert for the All-Out Blitz, but let's go ahead and get started, as we do in our review episodes, with the All-Out Blitz. All-Out Blitz for week number 15. We begin on Thursday night in Las Vegas, and the Raiders went from getting shut out in a 3-0 loss to scoring 42 in the first half on their way to a 63-21 rout of the Chargers. And the Chargers then fired Brandon Staley and general manager Tom Telesco the next morning. But hey, I picked the Raiders, so I'm cool. Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. The Steelers got off to a 13-0 lead in the first half on Saturday, but the Colts went on a 30-0 run the rest of the way to knock the Steelers out of the playoffs, for now. Atlanta at Carolina. Good gravy. Just a bright, shining example of how much of a mess the NFC South is. The Falcons, who were in first place a week ago, lost to the Bucs, and now they do the encore by losing one to the 1-12 Panthers when Eddie Pinheiro hit a field goal as time expired. Speaking of the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Baker Field was magnificent, 22 of 28 for 381 and four touchdowns as the Bucs get back to 500 and beat the Packers 34 to 20. Houston at Tennessee. I flip-flopped on this pick so many times, and I still got it wrong. The Titans wore their old Oiler uniforms only to get outlasted by the actual current Houston franchise in overtime, 19-16. Jets at Dolphins. The Jets could not duplicate last week's dominance of the Texans as the Dolphins had a 24-0 lead at halftime en route to a 30-0 win over the Jets. Giants at Saints. All the gabagool in Jersey couldn't help Tommy DeVito and the Giants. Why do I keep saying Jets? The Giants on Sunday as the Saints went 17-0 second half surge was more than enough to get them an easy 24-6 win over the Giants. Yeah, finally got it right there. Washington at the Rams. The Rams held a 28-7 lead in the fourth quarter, but the Commanders would run out of time before they could come all the way back in their 28-20 loss to L.A. San Francisco at Arizona. Christian McCaffrey ran for a TD and caught two more as the Niners win their sixth straight and clinch a playoff berth along with the NFC West title, 45-29 over the Cardinals. Kansas City at New England. With Taylor Swift herself in attendance, the Chiefs finally snapped their two-game losing streak as Pat Mahomes threw for 305 and two TDs in a 27-17 win over the Patriots. Baltimore at Jacksonville on Sunday Night Football. In a game filled with miscues and mistakes by the Jaguars, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens put up 250 yards rushing on their way to an easy 23-7 win. And finally, on Monday night, Drew Lock hit Jackson Smith and Jigma for the game-winning TD with 33 seconds to go, giving the Eagles their third straight loss and kept them from reclaiming the NFC East after Dallas's loss to Buffalo. Oh, boy. And there you go. There is the week 15 all-out blitz. And, you know, like I said, I probably pretty much spoiled all of that in the open there, but there it was. So, yeah, can you believe the freaking Falcons, man? I mean, I can't get over that. And as I'm peeking over my shoulder, I see that the Falcons have benched Desmond Ridder again. It just came over the wire here. I'm recording this early on Tuesday morning, and yeah, just came in. Taylor Heinicke to start week 16 versus the Colts. Well, yeah. I don't know what they were waiting for. I mean, they scored 7 points like early in the second quarter and then got shut out the rest of the way. And it's like I'm sitting here, you know how you watch the ticker during the games and it's just like, all right, Atlanta, enough already. You know, it's like 7-3, 7-6. Like, all right, come on, guys, really? This is what we're doing. And, yeah, apparently the elements, the rain and everything that was happening in Carolina, just too much for the Falcons. As like I said, Eddie Pinheiro hits like a 23-yard field goal to win the game as time expires. And it's like, come on, really? This is how we're doing this, Atlanta? What a mess the NFC South is, man. They're basically just waiting to get crucified in the wild card round by looks like right now would be Philly would be the top seed. So, yeah. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive into our pick six for the week. Four very interesting games that had very interesting outcomes as well. So let's go ahead and dive in. Pick six, week number 15, will start in Cincinnati. The first game of the day on Saturday in the triple header there. It was Minnesota and Cincinnati, and then you had Indy and Pittsburgh. We already know how that one rolled out. And then Denver at Detroit was the night game, the late game, if you will. And it was an interesting game because it was really back and forth, really tightly contested, and made a lot of sense considering the two teams were 7-6, both teams playing with backup quarterbacks, both of those backups actually not playing badly throughout the football game. You know, there weren't a lot of fireworks early on, but, you know, it was still a pretty exciting. I watched a good majority of that game on Saturday, as I'm pulling up the stats and whatnot. So, but, you know, the Bengals come out right off the bat. Their opening drive, they go 11 plays, 59 yards, settle for a field goal. The Vikings, in turn, go 12 plays, 75 yards, and score a touchdown. And that was all the offense that we got in the first half. Because the Bengals would go field goal, punt, 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 end of the half. Whereas Nick Mullins and the Vikings would go touchdown, punt, interception, interception to end the first half. And the Bengals weren't able to do anything with those turnovers. So it was much ado about nothing, just an ugly mark on Nick Mullins' stat sheet more than anything. And then in the second half, again, keeping with the trend of opening drives, the Vikings come in, bang, 8-play, 92-yard drive to take a 14-3 lead. What was his name? Jake Browning, the quarterback for the Bengals, throws an interception on the ensuing drive, which the Vikings turn into a field goal. And then after that, things really took off. The Vikings, you know, had gone on their 17-0 run after being down 3-0. Now the Bengals finally come back after that last field goal. 8 plays, 75 yards for that drive. Where'd it go? Damn mouse. Browning hits T. Higgins for 13 yards to make it 17-10. They force a quick 3-and-out, put another touchdown on the board, bang, bang, just like that. It goes from 17-3. It's tied 17-17 about midway through the fourth quarter as Mixon ran it in from 1 yard out. And it's like, just to keep things interesting, like I said, the fourth quarter was all of fun, because the Vikings answered the game being tied with a touchdown drive of their own, a very quick one, 7 plays. 75 yards. Mullins hits Jordan Addison for a 1 yard touchdown. And then the Bengals come right back, 10 plays, 75 yards. And Browning hits, T. Higgins again for a 21 yard touchdown. And that was with about 40 seconds to go in the game. The Vikings go 3-and-out on their next drive. The Bengals kneel on it to finish out the regular season. Boy, this is why I don't do this early in the morning. I can't think right now. In regulation, that's the word I was looking for. Good God! But I don't drink coffee, so I don't have anything to pick me up and kind of snap me back into reality. This morning, they trade drives in the overtime period. Both teams failing to score, which means it's sudden death now. And 6 plays, 47 yards in. The Bengals, McPherson hits a 29-yard field goal to put an end to the ball game, give the Bengals the win, put them to 8-6. The Vikings fall to 7-7. Cincinnati propelled themselves into the NFC or AFC wild card. Meanwhile, the Vikings still hanging on to their 6th seed in the NFC at the moment. So, the Vikings not affected by the loss. But the Bengals were. The win puts them back in to the playoff discussion for now. Like you heard me say during the all-out blitz, the loss to Indy knocks the Steelers out of the playoffs, because basically the Bengals jump in and the Steelers jump out of the playoffs right now. Let me pull that up real quick. So on the AFC side, yeah, Bengals. Basically, the Steelers and the Bengals flip-flop, because the Bengals were out of the playoffs and the Steelers were in. Now the Steelers, like Indy's still the 7th seed, because somehow the Bengals went from being like 9th or 10th in the AFC to being the 6th seed now. They're the ones that flip-flop, which has a rematch with them and the Kansas City Chiefs coming up, which would be interesting if the season ended today. That's your wild card round, is Kansas City hosting the Bengals in Arrowhead. I know it's not Joe Burrow, but the the Bengals don't actually fare too bad in Arrowhead. So that would be an interesting wild card matchup right now. So, but the Colts with the win over the Steelers, they're 8-6. They're the 7 seed right now, still holding off the Texans and the Bills, who both won this weekend. The Texans with the win over the Titans, like we talked about. The Bills, we'll get to it here in just a minute, with their win over Dallas on Sunday. So this weekend went about kind of clearing up a little bit of that logjam, whereas before the 6 and 7 seeds were 7 and 6, and then the 4 teams below it were also 7 and 6. Now the 6 and 7 seeds are 8 and 6, and you only have the Texans and the Bills also at 8 and 6 before the Steelers and the Broncos are at 7 and 7. So it's starting to disseminate a little bit from what it was, where there was this logjam of tiebreakers holding teams in and out of the playoffs. You still have 4 teams fighting for the last 2 spots, but it's better than 6 teams fighting for the final 2 spots on the AFC side. So, but the Bengals got the win. They put it up in overtime, and I was happy because I picked the Bengals. Denver at Detroit, the nightcap for the Saturday slate. And it was a very quiet, very uneventful first quarter. Neither team scoring points. There were some, back and forth, moving of the ball, but overall, it was much ado about nothing, you know. And the Lions punted on their first drive. The Broncos were actually putting something together. You know, they were moving the football, got 41 yards on 4 plays, and then fumbled the football, giving it back to the Lions, I should say. And after 3 punts on their opening drives, the Lions then followed it up by scoring 6 touchdowns over their next 7 drives, including 5 in a row. So their first 3 possessions, 6 plays, punt, 3 plays, punt, 6 plays, punt. Then after that, it was 3 touchdowns to end the first half. So they were up 21-0 at the half. And then the next 2 drives in the first half were touchdowns as well. So, yeah, it was 35-10 midway through the, or at the end of the third quarter, it was 35-10. So, yeah. Or early, at the start of the fourth, I should say. That's what it was. Yeah, that drive that was the 5th touchdown started in the third quarter, ended at the beginning of the fourth. Then they punted, and then they scored another touchdown to make it 42-17 in this one. And, you know, Goff threw 5 touchdown passes. 3 of them went to the rookie Sam LaPorta, the tight end, who's been awesome for them. Jamar Gibbs ran for 100 yards on 11 carries, which is 9-plus yards a carry. Montgomery ran for 85 on 17 carries, which is 5 yards a carry. So you can basically say that the offensive line of the Lions was getting it done, because Goff didn't, I think maybe Goff got sacked once in the game. Twice. He got sacked twice. But when your running backs are running for 9.9 yards a carry and 5 yards a carry in the ball game, you're getting it done up front for sure. So, St. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown had 112 yards on 7 catches and a touchdown. And, it was just utter domination. The Broncos could not run the football at all. They had 83 yards on 28 carries in the game. Russell Wilson went 18 of 32, so just over 500 or 50% for the game. Only 223 yards. They just couldn't get anything going. Like, they would maybe get a couple of plays, and then it would just absolutely get shut down. And the thing is, the Broncos only had 1 turnover. Wilson was only sacked twice. They only had 4 penalties in the game. So it's not like they were marred by a bunch of mistakes or anything. The Lions just whooped them, plain and simple. So the Lions pissed off about losing that game to the Bears last Sunday, came out at home in front of their people, got their 10th win of the season. And thanks to the Cowboys and the Eagles both losing, they're all even at 10-4 now. Let's see where that puts the Lions at the moment in the NFC. Still number three, behind the Cowboys, who are still in first place in the NFC East because the Eagles did not win on Monday. And the 49ers are the one seed at 11-3 right now, so a game ahead of Dallas and Philly and Detroit at the moment. And it says that the Cowboys have a current tiebreaker over Detroit with the winning percentage in conference games. Right now in conference, the Cowboys are 7-3. The Lions are 6-3. So they're half a game better in the win column, and that's why Dallas is ahead of Detroit. However, not this week, but the week after, week 17, Detroit and Dallas play each other in Dallas, which I'm really interested to see, because I think that's where Detroit is going to finally kind of make either believers or doubters out of everyone, depending on how that game goes. Because the Cowboys have basically destroyed everybody in the Jerry Dome this year. They're a perfect 7-0. It's 3-4 on the road is what's getting them into trouble right now. They're a below 500 team on the road this season. So they got one home game left, and it's against the Lions, which very well could be for, you know, that two seed in the wild card, or you know, God only knows, maybe if the 49ers drop a game somewhere, it could be for the top seed in the conference as well. So big, big game coming up between the Cowboys and the Lions in 2 weeks. Be very interested to see how that one shakes out. But I hadn't lost faith in the Lions. Everyone thought they were pretenders after the way that they'd played over the last few weeks and losing to the Bears in Chicago. Accidentally hit the button, but you guys heard it. I got the pick right. The Lions beat the Broncos. My beloved Chicago Bears at the Cleveland Browns, and man, what a stress ball this game was, man. I mean, it was the if you like defense, this was the game for you, because the defenses came to play in both of these games. There was a lot of my theory, my theme or whatever for this game, I put together in my second quarter or at the half knee-jerk reaction, in that it wasn't so much that the team that made the fewest mistakes was going to win the game. And I said that because in the first half, there were missed opportunities by both teams. Justin Fields hit a wide open Robert Tonyan for what should have been a walk-in touchdown. Because even at a tight end, as a tight end, he had about three steps on the guy that was chasing, trailing after him in coverage. It was a perfect throw. Tonyan didn't have to lean out and try to dive forward or anything like that. Fields hit him in stride, you know, and it was, what a wasted moment, because Cole Kmet has this amazing block on Myles Garrett. He did that thing that all offensive line coaches tell you to do when it comes to pass rushers, like just take him where he wants to go. You know, if the guy wants to go all the way around, then take him around the long way. Your quarterback will step up and make the throw. Myles Garrett tried to go to the inside, so Cole Kmet got a handful of jersey, and it wasn't holding. He had him good and just drove him right up the field as Fields rolled out to the right side, throws the ball downfield to Robert Tonyan, just hits him in the hands, and then becomes the juggling act, and it falls innocently to the ground for what should have been a touchdown. And who knows how the game has changed in that moment if the Bears have that big pop play. Because otherwise, their offense was really pedestrian in this football game. They only scored 10 points, the offense did. And the touchdown that they scored was a bananas drive in the second quarter, because it was scoreless in the first. Eight plays were run, but there were only four official plays because there were four penalties that negated the play. So officially the drive was four plays for 1 yard. That ended with, you know, and here's how the NFL math works. That was a four-play, one-yard drive that ended with a five-yard touchdown pass from Fields to Cole Kmet, and the Bears took the early 7-0 lead. So, yeah. So, but the Bears' defense is still continuing to be disruptive. They forced three turnovers, three interceptions from Flacco. They sacked him four times. They hit him a few more times than that. And we had a 17-7 lead in this thing. You know, we took a 7-3 lead into the half where Eberflus elected not to kick a field goal. It would have been a long field goal. It would have been yardage-wise on the bleeding edge of Cairo Santos's field goal, or field goal range, I should say. It would have been about a 55-yard kick from where they were. And Eberflus was saying because he was kicking into the wind that we were about 7 yards outside of his range, so that's why we went for the Hail Mary instead of the field goal. And there are people tweeting and saying that, you watch, we're going to lose this game by 3 points. And sure enough, we did. Oh, man. But, you know, then in the second half, three and out, the Bears have the football, so we give it right back after, you know, three and out. First play of the drive, T.J. Edwards hits the receiver coming across the middle cleanly, and T.J. Edmonds catches the ball as it's floating in the air, runs it back 45 yards for a pick six. The Bears follow that up with their last scoring drive, a field goal drive, to take a 17-7 lead. And then there was another interception, the third and final, by Tyreek Stevenson, which was just an amazing play, number one, for two reasons. Number one, he made a diving play to cut off a throw to David Njoku, who was a beast for them, for the Browns in this game. And it would have been a touchdown had Stevenson not made the play. As a matter of fact, the play laid out perfectly for what the Browns were trying to do because Njoku was open, wide open from the snap of the football. Flacco finally gets the throw off, and Stevenson had came off of his assignment, of come off his receiver to come diving in and make the interception, and that was the drive the Bears turned into a field goal. I'm pretty sure it was, anyway. But no. You know what? Stevenson's interception negated the muffed punt by Trent Taylor. He had muffed one earlier but recovered it, and then in the third quarter there, muffed another one that the Browns recovered at like our 20-yard line or something like that. So the Browns were poised to score a touchdown, if not for Stevenson negating that. I think it was maybe a drive or so later that the Bears added that field goal. But we go into the fourth quarter. It's 17-7. The Bears are ahead. And it's fourth and one because on third and eight, the Bears run the ball for whatever reason. Because we're terrible running the ball. Neither team could run the ball. The Browns had 29 yards rushing on like 12 attempts or something. Oh, excuse me, 18 attempts. So 1.1 yards a carry in this one. And the Bears were a little bit better thanks to Justin Fields and his scrambling. 88 yards on 27 carries, which is still terrible. But a little over 3 yards a carry in this one. But, you know, Roshan gets 7.5 yards on third and eight, so it's fourth and less than a yard. The Bears kind of finally run a play that I wanted them to run. It's like the Browns were selling out for the run. The Bears go play action and roll Fields out to the right. And what was supposed to happen, from what I understand, what was supposed to happen is that Justin Fields was going to roll to his right and throw the ball downfield to DJ Moore, who was wide open, by the way. I mean, and wide open to the fact, I mean, he had a defender on his backside, but if Fields throws it towards the sideline, there's nobody there. You know, DJ Moore will catch the ball in stride. It would be an easy touchdown. And instead, what happened was the play got blown up as the what was supposed to happen was Darnell Mooney and DJ Moore were the two receivers on the outside. Moore was the inside receiver. Mooney was on the outside. And Mooney was supposed to come in and block the defensive back, and instead of biting on the play fake, the defensive back just came, so Mooney did not get a finger on him. And Justin Fields got around him, but that guy was able to just barely get a finger on Justin Fields' foot, trip him up to the point that he could not get that last yard. He got tripped up and came up short for the fourth down, and that's where it all changed. It all changed from that moment. That's where all the air was sucked out of the stadium for the Bears. Because let me find it. Turnover on downs. It was minor, but it was a field goal, and that made it a one-score game. The Bears then went 3 plays and out, and then 6 plays and out before the Browns scored another touchdown, a 51-yard pass from Flacco to Amari Cooper, as Flacco threw for 212 yards in the fourth quarter alone. Up until then, he and Fields were kind of neck and neck as far as attempts and yardage and things like that. But you know, that tied the game up. The Bears go 3 plays and negative 2 yards on the following drive, give the ball right back to the Browns, who drive the ball downfield and kick a field goal with about 40 seconds to go. And then the really fun part was that the Bears start moving the ball again on this 2-minute drill where they have no timeouts. And with 5 seconds to go, we run the Hail Mary again. And this time we were at the 45, so it would have been a 62, 63-yard field goal. So, okay, sure, that's fine. Yeah, go for the Hail Mary there instead of trying to kick an NFL record type field goal. The Hail Mary gets heaved up there. Fields was able to get the ball off cleanly. He wasn't under pressure or anything like that. Gets the ball off cleanly. It hits into that pile of bodies there in the center of the end zone. Kind of gets tipped up in the air. And as Darnell Mooney is falling to the ground, the ball literally lands in his lap. And he couldn't hang on to it, you know. He could not hang on to it. The ball bobbled and juggled in his hands, just like Tonyan did on that first play in the first quarter, and ends up kicking the ball into the air, and it gets picked off. That was it. The Bears lose 20-17, and this is the third time this season that the Bears have had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. First to the Broncos, we were up 28-14 going into the fourth quarter. Then a few weeks ago, we were 26-14 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter over the Lions. We lost that one too. And then we had a 17-7 lead going into the fourth quarter against the Browns. We got shut out 13-0 to lose 20-17. Now, guys, if the Bears win those 3 games, which mathematically they should have, because the probability of them losing one of those games, let alone all 3, are the odds of you winning the game. Like, where is that stupid chart that they have on ESPN? Yeah, that win probability chart. With, the play before Flacco hits Amari Cooper for the touchdown that tied the game, the Bears had an 83.6% win probability. One play later, when Amari Cooper scores, it became a 54% chance that the Browns would win. So, yeah. And this is in the final 3 minutes of the game, just kind of like it was with the Lions. So, yeah. We couldn't get anything going on offense, which isn't that surprising considering the defense that we were playing. Fields only threw for 166 yards, but he had a touchdown in that one. The 2 interceptions, both of those were Hail Marys, so they weren't like mistakes that Fields made. Half those passes get intercepted anyway, so it's not that it's just going to go down on the stat sheet. So, yeah. But, the Browns are 9-5, still locked in as the top seed in the wild card at number 5. And the Bears can pretty much kiss any playoff hopes that they had goodbye after letting this game get away. Because if the Bears would have won, and if they'd have won the other two games like they should have, they'd be 8-6, which means they'd be the 6th seed right now. They'd be ahead of the Vikings at the 6th seed at 8-6, because Philly and Dallas would be 10-4. And, yeah, so we'd be in the playoffs right now, and we'd have a game lead on the 6th seed, or the 7th seed, I should say. So, yeah. We'd be 8-6 with Arizona this weekend, Atlanta next weekend, both games in December in Chicago for these two dome teams coming into this situation. And then we go on the road to finish out at Lambeau, which is an extremely winnable game that we had better goddamn win. So, but like I said, curse the Bears for giving me hope after the way that they played against Detroit, after eking out that win over Minnesota. Being on a 2-game win streak, seeming like they were turning things around, still had a glimmer of hope for the playoffs if you win out because the NFC's a dumpster fire. I go ahead and I pick them, and once again, they let me down. Bastards. Finally, Dallas at Buffalo. To put it in the simplest of terms, guys, and I don't want to get too technical with you, so that's why I'm going to dumb it down just a little bit. Not because you can't handle it, but just because you just, you know, put it the simplest way. Buffalo beat the unholy piss out of the Cowboys on Sunday. Is that simple enough? Because, yeah, they were, I mean, here's an indication. Buffalo won this game 31-10, okay? They were up 21-3. At halftime. And you would think that with a point margin like that, with 31 points scored on, against what's a very good defense for the Cowboys, that that meant Josh Allen went off. And no, that's not what happened at all. Josh Allen was just there. He was not injured, played the entire football game, but he spent that game handing the ball off because he was 7-for-15 for 94 yards and a touchdown. That is Josh Allen's stat line for a 31-10 win over the Cowboys. That's how impressive this beating was at the hands of the Bills, because the star of the football game was James Cook, Dalvin Cook's younger brother, 25 carries for 179 yards in this game. Allen did rush for a touchdown, as did Latavius Murray, so that's where the other three touchdowns came from. But Cook was just, you know, they were imposing their will on the Cowboys. They absolutely ran the ball down their throat, dominated this thing throughout, and the Cowboys, once again, cannot figure out the puzzle of winning football games on the road. I mean, let's take a look at their schedule again real quick. It's like, number one, we all knew that the Cowboys, until they beat the Eagles, well, I guess technically the Seahawks, but you know, until they'd beaten the, well, screw it, we'll just say that the Eagles. Until they'd beaten the Eagles, they hadn't beaten a team with a winning record yet. On the road, they beat the Giants. That was week one, where they just destroyed the Giants. They lost to the Cardinals in Arizona. They lost to the 49ers, 42-10. So in those two losses, they lost 28-16 and 42-10. That's what, 68-26 combined score. Then they beat the Chargers just barely on Sunday night football, or is it Monday night, 20-17. Then at Philly, they lose 28-23. Then they beat the Panthers, surprise, surprise, on the road. Their one dominant road win, 33-10. Well, actually, I take that back. They beat the Giants on the road, even worse. But, and then they were at home for 3 weeks straight before playing the Bills this past Sunday. So their road wins were against the Chargers, the Panthers, and the Giants, who combined have 12 wins. Those three teams combined have 12 wins right now. So, yeah. And their four losses on the road, Arizona, that's a black eye for sure. but the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Bills. So, you know, the one good thing that happened to the Cowboys this weekend was that the Eagles lost. So they don't, they're still the 2 seed. So that means they're still at home up until they play in the NFC Championship game. And, you know, and that's assuming that the 49ers are going to be the 1 seed, which they are, and will host the NFC Championship game, which they will. So, you know, they would have to go on the road to the 49ers, where they lost 42-10 earlier this season. And for the, what, third, fourth year in a row, get eliminated from the playoffs by the 49ers. But if they're the 2 seed, I would pretty much guarantee you can see the Cowboys in the NFC title game, be just based on the way they've played at home. They still have that one home game left against the Lions in 2 weeks, but they're going on the road to Miami next Sunday. That should be interesting. And, you know, especially with the way that the Dolphins are very generous in scoring points and everything, that could get away. And the Dolphins run the ball really well with Raheem Mostert. Achan is healthy, so they may just take the blueprint from the Bills. And it's like, all right, Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, you guys got the week off. It's the Achan and Mostert show this week, and watch them run for 300 yards on the Cowboys and run away with an easy win. And then they got to come home and lick their wounds against the Lions, who are under Dan Campbell, one of the hungriest teams left in the NFC right now. So I don't know, man. I didn't believe in the Bills as far. Well, I believed in the Bills. I want them to make the playoffs more than I do teams like Indy or Pittsburgh or whatever. We got half the job done. Pittsburgh is out for the moment. But the Bills are still on the outside looking in, and hopefully this win, you know, will propel them to keep going forward and get themselves into the postseason, because they're basically like the best team not in the playoffs right now. They have the Chargers. They're in L.A. at the Chargers. That shouldn't be much of a problem. Then they have the Patriots. That should be another win. So we're looking at 10-6 going into the final weekend against the Dolphins. And who knows? Maybe the Dolphins will have things wrapped up by then, and, you know, they'll play and the Bills will win and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But it's shaping up well for the Bills. I mean, because after they lost that game to the Broncos and they had lost 3 out of 4, or was it like 4 out of 5? 3 out of 4. They had lost 3 out of 4, and it wasn't looking good for them, and they beat the Jets, because I think they fired their offensive coordinator. They beat the Jets. They lose in overtime to the Eagles. They beat the Chiefs, and then at home they beat the Cowboys. When I looked at that schedule a month ago, I was like, Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys? Oh man, that's 3 L's right there. They went 2-1 and actually probably should have won all 3. But so don't sleep on the Bills. They may be banged up, missing some key players, but they've got good coaching and they're still getting it done. So I'm sorry I didn't believe in you guys. Trust me, I will be on your side the rest of the way. So there you have it, guys, the pick 6 for week number 15, and that will conclude our week 15 review episode of the Fourth Phase. Come back on Thursday when we will have week 16, which when I was a kid was the final week of the season, but thanks to bye weeks and other games getting added to the schedule, we still got a couple weeks to go after this. But 16 games for week 16. Come back on Thursday. We'll get those previewed and we'll break it down. What's the pick 6? Who's in the all-out blitz and everything else as we get ready for Christmas, which is this weekend. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, whatever you got out there. Happy holidays to you and yours. Come back on Thursday for week 16 preview of the Fourth Phase. And until then, my name is Larry D. This has been the Fourth Phase, and we will see you next time.